This week we've loads of interviews to get through. Boy to Woman is a short documentary charting the journey of Nicole Barbarossa Winter as she transforms from a boy to a woman, and it was made by two Northside filmmakers and gets its premiere tomorrow evening in the Savoy Cinema. Declan Carter, who's the producer and chief bottle washer on the project, is in the studio with me today to tell me all about it in about 1 minute. It's estimated that a quarter of the population in Ireland volunteers. Internationally, it's a very, very high rate. National Volunteer Week begins on Monday. And to start off in the studio, welcome Declan Carter, who's the main producer of the film with us, The Boy to Woman.
Good afternoon. Very nice to be here.
So that's great. So how are you?
Very, very good. Yeah, it's a great sunny day out there. We had an early start in the family today doing the darkness into light walk, so that was nice.
Oh, very good. I was going to get up myself, but I had two shows to do this morning. I said, well, I can't put it all on that list. So
definitely. So yeah, doing great. Thanks. Yeah. No Jamie today now, so he's working hard. But he's here with Spirit. Jamie actually used to have a show here for a couple of years.
Yeah.
As well. So yeah.
I see he went to Clonshadoodle. Just one of my kids went to Clonshadoodle as well, did the film course. So
yeah,
he was in the class ahead of, my child was in the class behind Jamie, so
he
would have been,
yeah.
Yep. So again, you've made this film, Boy to Woman. So how did the project come about? What was the inspiration? Where did you start?
Well, I was very lucky to have met Nicole and actually a whole lot of other very interesting Dublin folk, because I used to have the podcast for the Humans of Dublin. Okay, so a very popular Facebook page. So Nicole was one of my guests at the very early stages of that. She was actually one of the very first episodes I released. And at that stage, she told me very early on in her journey that she was going to go for the gender reassignment surgery. And we had a great episode, and a year later she released the news on Facebook that she had gotten her dates. And I said, well, we should do a repeat episode of the podcast. And then I rethought it, because I had met Jamie at that stage, and he's a filmmaker. And
he gets a feedback there or
feedback.
Something.
Maybe I'll it's my, might be my phone.
Is there some speakers there?
So I knew that Jamie was really good and able to make a good movie and a documentary. So I got in touch with him and I said, actually, can we chart her story on film? And
yep.
She was really up for it. She was great as a subject. Jamie said he'd do it. So we both, two, you know, Dublin lads with no funding other than great support from a company called Spiritual Ceremonies, who helped us with our travel costs. We got stuck in and we got started, and we followed her over the course of a good few months through her surgery.
So obviously, looking through the press pack and all the information you were set, you know, both it says about yourselves, and you make the point in it, you're both stray orientated males. Wife, children.
Yeah.
So what attracted you to this particular story?
Yeah, like exactly. Like, neither Jay nor I would move in LGBTQ circles and wouldn't claim to know very much about it.
Yeah.
And in one sense, that possibly makes us the best type of people to explore Nicole's world and Nicole's journey, because we had questions that, you know, most of our friends and family would also want to ask. So I suppose we went into it with that mindset. We said, look, in Ireland, we certainly are being more exposed to stories and to people around lesbianism and bisexuality and gay people, but the transgender side of society these days isn't getting so much exposure. But it's certainly, you know, coming out like that, and people are more and more identifying as non-binary and things. So we, I suppose, used our curiosity and the curiosity of people around us to go in and ask those questions and to just tell the story of one person. You know, it would have been a very big job for us to try and teach the whole world about everything to do with gender and transgenderism, and we weren't qualified to do that. So I think we just said, we'll pick one really interesting lady, follow her for a while and just chart her human story, and that's really what we're hoping people will pull out of it, as well as being educated about, you know, gender and things like that. It's actually just a very interesting human being story, I think, as well.
So I'm not saying in previous roles and previous jobs that I've had, you know, I've had budgets to make films or, you know, ads and things like that. And, you know, I've spent, you know, hundreds of thousands on them at times.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you didn't have a couple hundred thousand to spend on this. So how did it all get funded?
Yeah, you know, I think to use the word bootstrapped would be fair in this occasion. You know, both Jay and I went into it saying, look, we're not doing it for gain for ourselves. We're not on anybody's payroll. So we were going to give our time and you know, it's a lot of time in filming and editing and promoting and things like that. So we, from the beginning, were very willing to do that. So really, other than that, you know, it was all in our control. Jay had the equipment, so we didn't have any hiring costs, thank God. And other than that, it was really just travelling around to meet Nicole. We wanted to get to London to meet her surgeon and talk to him face to face and everything, and that took a bit of cost. So we put a GoFundMe page up, at the very beginning of the project, and within, I think, a day or 2 days, we had very generous support from, like I say, spiritualceremonies.ie, who conduct civil ceremonies for people of all genders and all sexualities and everything like that. And so we were delighted. So once we didn't have to worry about those, the cost of the plane tickets and everything like that, we were able to do everything else ourselves. And I think it's easier to do that than it's ever been, you know, with the technology that people have and the internet. And lucky enough, Jamie had the skill set that we needed, and I, you know.
So, I mean, just go ahead, and this is, you know, pure ignorance on my behalf. You've made an 18-minute short film directory. Was that, you know, was time limited by the amount of story you wanted to tell, or was it limited by budget, or, you know, why'd you go with 18 minutes as opposed to an hour or 2 hours?
Yeah, you're right, yeah. We had to kind of make that decision early on, Ken. And what was partly driving it was probably two things. One was that we want to submit this to festivals, and most festivals internationally would have a bit of a cut-off. You know? So we opted for a short documentary. And I suppose the other thing as well is more and more these days people are used to kind of shorter, bite-sized pieces of content and movies and stuff. But I tell you, it was hard, really, really hard. And there were parts of Nicole's story that we had to decide not to tell, you know, and kind of focus in. And me and Jay, you know, from a creative perspective, would have had, you know, to's and fro's, like sitting there in front of the editing suite, you know, kind of going, oh, I really think we should put this in. And, you know, oh, no, it's not part of the core story. So that was really, really interesting for us, you know. But we picked, you know, what was the core story and followed her rather than going too wide. So,
well, obviously, without getting into too much detail, I mean, we're talking about gender reassignment here.
Yeah.
Do you get up close and personal, or is it just getting the story across?
Yeah, well
from a film perspective.
I'll quickly clarify that we didn't film the surgery, okay? So we left her to it there. We left her with her privacy intact there. We did, a couple of things that I could tell you about it is that we did ask Nicole, we set her the homework of recording a bit of diary footage while she was in London in the hospital and on the morning of the surgery and things like that. And then we met her very soon after the surgery as well. Jay was a great man for asking the kind of the blunt questions, whereas I was probably a bit more delicate and polite, you know, whereas Jay would ask the straight up questions of, you know, do you think, will you miss your bits?
Yeah, okay.
You know, and straightforward, because it's a legit question.
That's a legitimate question.
I mean, that's the whole point of the surgery for Nicole. And Nicole is a great character, and she's absolutely fine with that, you know. So it was most definitely better for having two personalities on this side of the camera asking those questions, you know.
Just obviously, just in terms of the transformation, you've called the film Boy to Woman as opposed to Man to Woman.
Yes.
Is it a lifetime journey as opposed to, you know, what's happened in the last year, if I could call it that?
Great question. This was very interesting to me, actually, Ken. When I met Nicole first in the podcast, she told the story of when she was young growing up in Denmark. From about the age of 10, she started wondering and asking questions. Now, at that age, in the place where she lived, she couldn't find answers or inspiration to help her clarify her situation or her identity, because the internet wasn't so widespread then. There wasn't a huge community of LGBTQ, you know, around where she lived. But she definitely was clear that from that early stage, she wondered and she wasn't sure and she had question marks. And so for her, it really has been a sort of a lifelong journey. Now, she still is a young woman, you know, she's not even 30 yet. But yeah, it was a journey that started that early, and that was a very interesting part of the story, I thought, because I think we would all imagine that when you're young, you don't really know what you want or where you're going or who you are.
Yep.
But yeah, she was very resolute that, you know, that question mark was there from early.
So obviously you've got the story, you've put it together, you've made it, gone into post-production, it's now sitting in a can somewhere, or it's digital. What happens next? How do you get the story out to people?
Again, I think this is something that's probably a little bit easier in this day and age than it's ever been, you know. So we can take control of a good bit of that ourselves online through Facebook. You know, Boy to Woman Film is the Facebook page, and Twitter and Instagram and things like that. And people like, I think, getting little behind the scenes snippets, you know, where we can show outtakes or little photographs that we took, or I have an audio interview with Nicole's mum at one stage. So a lot of it we can do ourselves in that way. And then there are really good people like you and great services like Near FM and GCN magazine and things like that are actually helping to get the dialogue on topics like this out there, you know, because I think it is a in the same way that Nicole went through her transition, Ireland is going through a transition where we're all sort of learning about these things, and it's in people's families, and everybody knows somebody who's in the community and has questions about it. So I think people are quite willing to row in with us and share the story and ask the questions, because that's what's needed.
So obviously the first thing in getting it out there is, say, the red carpet's out tomorrow night in the Savoy Cinema.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's a closed list, so we can't all go along. So
yeah, we've got a small screen in the Savoy, which are absolutely delighted with. They've been very flexible and a great support for us as well. So for us to be able to say, at any stage that we've got anything in the Savoy is brilliant, let alone our very first little project. So that's tomorrow evening, and it's a sort of a VIP gig for all our friends and families, loads of Nicole's friends as well, because she's the star. And then off we go from there. Yeah, we do have another date then where people can actually keep an eye and hopefully attend themselves. It'll show again in the IFI, the Irish Film Institute, on the 8th of June.
Okay.
And that's as part of the Transfusion Festival. So even though we're teasing people by saying, hooray, premiere tomorrow night, but you can't come, very soon after that, if people keep an eye, they can. Yeah, we're really excited.
Does this ever end up on something like Netflix or Wide Distribution? I don't know how this works.
Yeah, I mean, from an artistic perspective, you know, when you create something, you have to decide, are we going to try and make it a commercial thing? Are we going to try and sell it? We could have made it, like you say, a half an hour or an hour and maybe tried to get it to TV3 or RT or something like that. But actually, we figured the best thing would be to have it freely after we've submitted it to the festivals and stuff. They have rules around don't show it publicly.
Okay.
After a few months, though, what we would simply plan on doing is have it on our website, have it on YouTube, and just have as many people as possible watch it and think new thoughts and ask new questions and talk about new things. You know, that'd be the aim.
Okay, well, that's great. So really appreciate taking your time for coming in. Tell us all about that. So as I say, the premiere's in the Savoy tomorrow night, but you can see it in, when's the Transfusion Festival night?
Transfusion Festival is from the end of May through to the 8th of June, and we're on the very last night of that. So there might be a little bit of celebration after that when the job is done.
And then hopefully there'll be wider distribution after that when you go to collect your Oscars and stuff like that.
Absolutely, yeah. The thing to do would be, just if you're on Facebook, to search for Boy to Woman Film, or on Twitter the same. And don't worry, we'll keep everybody perfectly informed in plenty of time for everything that's happened.
Okay, and I appreciate that.